So this week, we begin the Seder of Parshas Terumo. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemer. God speaks to Moshe saying, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. V'yikchu li Terumo, let them take to me, for me, a Truma, an offering, an elevated offering. May eis kol ish, from every person, ashi yidvenu liboy, whose heart moves him to give a gift. Tikhu, you should take, or they should take, as terumosi, my teruma. V'zois ha-teruma, and this is the teruma asher tikhu meyitim, that you should take from them. Zohar v'chesed v'nechoshes, gold and silver and copper, bronze, tcheles, blue wool, argom, and purple wool, telashani, red wool, v'sheish, linen, v'izim, and goat's wool, and so forth, a whole list of things to take. So the last posuk, the last verse in the previous sedra is Vayovoi Moshe b'toicha onon. Moshe comes into the cloud, Vaya'al el hahar, and he goes up the mountain. Vahi Moshe b'har, and Moshe was in the mountain, Arbo'im yoim, 40 days, Va'arbo'im loilu, 40 nights. So, most of us hold that Ein mukdam u'me'ucha b'Torah, that the narratives of the Torah are not in order, and so the commandment to make the Mishkan, to make this tabernacle, this resting place, as we say in Pasuk Ches, we read, V'osu limigdash, let them make me a sanctuary, v'shachanti, and I will dwell b'soicham, inside them. So that this came after the story, which only appears in 2 weeks' time in the Sedra of the end of the 40 days, when Moshe failed to come down as we had imagined he would come down that day, because we hadn't counted a night before the day, and so we were on the wrong day, and we made the golden calf. So this Sedra here comes in between the story of the making of the Mishkan. Actually comes in the book of Exodus before the story of the golden calf, even though it happened afterwards. So obviously it's connected. Moshe comes into the inside of the cloud, and he goes up the mountain, and he's there 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, he ended up being there three times, 40 days, 40 nights. And this word terumo is made up of a Torah, Tofresh Vav He, and Mem. So the word terumo is like the Torah of Mem. So we have three times the word terumo. Speak to the children of Israel, v'yikhu li terumo. Let them take me an elevation of an offering. The word, the root of the word is Ram, Rishmem, which means high, Roim, Larum, to raise up high. So terumo is something that is elevated. And then, so that's the first commandment, v'yikhu li terumo. Then the posuk says, "May eis kol ish, from every person, ashi yidvenu liboy, whose heart moves him to give, tikhu, you should take as terumo si, my teruma." And here, the word teruma has a yud on the end. Mine, says God. So first it's called teruma, and then God calls it terumo si. And then immediately the next verse begins, v'zois hateruma. And this is the teruma, and so you've got the word teruma with a hey on the beginning. So the first thing that we actually, the Torah tells us to make, v'osu aroin atzeshitim, we should make a box, an ark, of shittim wood, of acacia wood, hamasayim v'chetzi arkoi, 2.5 cubits long, ba'ama v'chetzi rachboy, 1.5 cubits wide, ba'ama v'chetzi kemosa, and 1.5 cubits high. V'tzipisa oisoy, and you should cover it, zohav toya, with pure gold. Mibayis u'michutz to tzapenu, you should cover it on the inside and outside with gold. V'osisul olav, and you should make on it zeir zohav, a gold crown soviv, and then we make a kapoiras on the top, a cover. And then on top of the kapoiras, we have two cherubs, shnayim kruvim, also made of gold. So the Rashi tells us that when we actually came to make the oroin, when we came to make this gold ark, that Bezalel made it of three boxes. A gold box, inside which there was a wooden box, inside which there was another gold box. So he didn't just make a box of shittim wood as he was told to and cover it with gold, which is actually the commandment. V'tzipisa oiso, and you should cover it with pure gold. Nibayis u'michutz tetzapenu, you should cover it on the inside and outside. And in fact, he made three boxes. So the Torah is inside a box, which is inside another box, which is inside another box. And these three teruma that we have in the beginning of the Sedra, that God says, first they should take me teruma, then from every heart that wants to give, you should take teruma, see my teruma, and then this is the teruma that you should take, so it's hateruma. So Rashi tells us the first truma that we should take, that there was three, that there were three givings. One was the truma of the Adonim. The sockets were made of silver, and there was 100 of them, because there were 100 boards that made up the walls of the Mishkan. And each socket was a talent, which is about 112 pounds. So each socket was made of 112 pounds of silver. So the word for a socket in Hebrew is an adoin, and that is the name by which God wants to be known. God says, Zeh Shmi v'zeh Zichri. This is my name, this is how I am known. And the Gemara says, because the name Yudke Vovke is not how God wants to be known. That's how we read it. That's how we imagine God. But when we say it out loud, we use the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. We refer to God as Adni. And Adni is a socket. Besides being Adon is a Lord. Adoni, we say my Lord, my Master. The first person to call God Lord, Adon, is Avraham. So these silver sockets, this teruma of the Adonim, comes in the Zechus of Avraham. The Adon, the socket that was on the bottom of each of the boards, was what stabilized it. Each board had two pegs sticking out of it, and each peg went into one of the sockets. So this shame, this adness, this mastery is in a sense what holds the world. This is the stability of the world depends on these silver sockets into which the boards of the Mishkan, the walls, they're like the foundations. And Avraham Avinu is the foundation of everything that we have. So there's an interesting medrash. There's a few interesting midrashim. There's one medrash that says, "V'yikhuli teruma, they should take me an offering. Hachud Omar, this is what it means in the Song of Songs when it says, Ani yishenu, I'm asleep, v'libi er, my heart is awake. What does it mean, I'm asleep, my heart is awake? Omro Knesset Yisrael, the congregation of Israel said, Ani yoshanti limin haketz, I've fallen asleep from the ketz, from the end. Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu er, but God is my heart, and God is still awake. Shenema, Tzur Levovi, the rock of my heart, V'chelki, and my portion, Elikim La'olam. God is my portion. Ani Yesheno, another interpretation of I'm asleep. Ani Yesheno min ha-mitzvois. I've fallen asleep from the mitzvois. I don't do the mitzvois. Avol zechus avoisai. But the merit of my ancestors is standing up for me. Velibi er, and that's the meaning of my heart is awake. Another interpretation, Ani Yesheno, I'm asleep, Mimaseho Egel, from the deed of worshipping the golden calf. Velibi er, and my heart is awake, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu Marati Kolai, and God is banging at the door. He's knocking. He's trying to wake me up. Havei, this is the meaning of the verse, V'yikhuli teruma, they should take me an offering. Pischuli achoisi rayosi, open for me, my sister, my beloved. Admosoi eheye mishalech beloy bais, how long am I going to be walking outside without a home? Sheroshi nim lo tol, my head is full of dew. I have nowhere to put my head down. Elo asuli migdosh, says God. Make me a sanctuary, shlo ehaye bachutz, that I should not be on the outside. So, the son of the Ishbitzer, the Noiz Deshe, he says that this medrash is explaining why Bezalel makes three boxes instead of just one box. He says, what does it mean? Ani Yesheno V'libi Er, I'm asleep, my heart is awake. The children of Israel say, Ani Yoshanti Limin Haketz. I've fallen asleep from the end. Meaning, he says, I say to myself, so many thousands of years have gone by since there's been any hint of God saying, I'm coming to save you. When was the last time that God told us, I'm coming to save you? When did we last hear? We've heard so many false messiahs come and tell us, this is it. We've heard so many promises about, yeah, this is the last gasp of the exile. We've heard so many interpretations of history that say, oh, this is the final sign. And then, here I am. So, Ani Yesheno min haketz, I can't hold on anymore. V'libi er, so he says, what does that mean? My heart is still awake. That God says, why are you even thinking about the ketz? Why are you even asking yourself, how long do I have to wait? Show me anywhere in the world such a story that thousands and thousands of years have passed and people are still saying, where is it? Where is it? There's no such thing anywhere. You could only be despairing like this if I was still in your heart telling you that there's going to be a ketz, that there's going to be an end, that Mashiach is coming. The fact that you're despairing after thousands of years and you're saying, where is it? I can't believe it anymore. It's happened. When's it happening? Means that I'm inside you promising you that it's going to happen. And you can't hear me consciously, says God. You can't hear me consciously. And so you're saying to yourself, when is it? I don't believe it's going to happen. Where is there anything in the world out here that's telling me, is there a sign anywhere in the world that Mashiach is coming? Nothing. God says, wait a minute. The fact that you're looking for a sign in the world is because inside you, you can hear me promising. So, Ani Yesheno V'Libi Er, the Medrash means that I have become disconnected from my own heart. And the Piasetzner Rebbe, he talks often about faith in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he says that if we didn't have faith, we would die, because that would mean that the neshama, which is inside each person, had fled, because that is what the neshama is, it's our faith. So when somebody comes to me and he says, Rebbe, I lost my faith, you couldn't have lost your faith, you're still breathing. You mean you don't feel your faith? Oh, no. You don't feel your faith because it's so important to you. It's like one of those physical functions over which you have no control. You can't control your liver function. It's not in your control. It's too important, because you would lose concentration. You would die. So it's, your brain takes care of your liver function without you thinking about it, because it's that important, and that's what your faith is. It's so important that your heart takes care of it. You want to feel it? No. There are exercises that you can do. Just, you want to feel your heartbeat? So do some exercise, some cardiovascular exercises, and you'll have no doubt that your heart is beating. You'll be able to hear it and see it thumping, and so all is a question of exercise. I can give you exercises that you'll do and you'll feel your faith. But it's much too important to leave it up to you. So this medrash is the mokor, this medrash is the source of this idea. Ani yesheno v'libi, libi, my heart, is God is my heart. And God is saying that the very fact that you're thinking about Mashiach is because I'm inside you, whispering to you, Tzur levovi v'chelki elikim lo. The next level is Ani yesheno min hamitzvos. Ani yesheno min hamitzvos, I'm sleeping from the mitzvos, meaning, Bein shalaylam, I do the mitzvos, mamish, like somebody, a somnambulist, somebody who's walking in his sleep. I do the mitzvahs. Anybody looking at me can't tell me, but I know that when I'm wrapping the tefillin around my arm, what am I thinking? Am I thinking, Master of the Universe, this is the mitzvah that you told me to do that I've been doing since my bar mitzvah. This is all I can think about, binding my arm the way you said, Vohi lo'is al yotcho. Is that what I'm thinking? Or, you know, am I going through the motions? So, ani sheinu min hamitzvos. So, the Rebbe says, Avo zechus avoisai oimed esli. What does that mean? God says to me, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and Sarah and Rivka Ruchel Leah are there inside you. If I peel you down, it's still your bar mitzvah day, and you're putting on the tefillin for the very first time. You're lighting Friday night candles on the table. You're lighting it for the very first time. You're lighting the menorah for the very first time. Everything that you're doing is for the very first time. If you have a problem, it's because you are afraid of looking at the light which is inside you. You're afraid of looking at how profoundly you're doing the mitzvah. There's a part of you that doesn't want to look at how deeply you are involved in this mitzvah while you're doing it. Zechus avoisai doesn't mean that, oh, I'm doing this mitzvah without thinking, but somewhere, you know, the merit of my ancestors. That, the Rebbe says that's not the meaning. It's tzulavovi. We're saying libi er. My heart is still awake. That part of me, which is Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, that part of me, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, is awake when I'm putting on my tefillin. And even though it seems to me like I've long ago stopped having the proper kavanah, But Moshe Rabbeinu inside me is still receiving this mitzvah on Sinai and putting on tefillin for the very first time. Can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu putting on tefillin for the very first time? So Moshe Rabbeinu inside me is putting on tefillin this morning for the very first time. My problem is, I don't want to look at Moshe Rabbeinu inside me. For some reason, not that Moshe Rabbeinu is not there. And then the third thing, what is it that I say? Ani yesheno mimase ho'egel. I'm asleep because of the Masa Egel, because I worship the golden calf. What can I do now to face God? I'm ashamed. So the Rebbe says like this: Shoho Odom Boish Lachzor El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person is ashamed to return to God. Machmas Busho, because he's ashamed of his own shame. Sheroya Masav Loi Toivim. VaHakadosh Baruch Hu Martik Olai. What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Martik? God is banging and he's saying, VaYikchu Li Terumo. This whole medrash is on these three words, VaYikchu Li Terumo. So the Rebbe says, Klum Yesh Ben Misbayish Lachso Etzel Aviv. Was there ever a child that was afraid to come back to his father? See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us that we should make him a sanctuary, but we're afraid because that means that God is my parent. That, you know, I can't imagine my child will do something and I'll stop knocking at his door and say, let me in. There is no such scenario that you could paint where a father will say to his son, or will stop saying to his son, please let me in. So Bezalel makes three aroinos. Bezalel makes three boxes to help us understand the three ways in which we have hidden ourselves away from ourselves. Because the whole pasuk is v'yikholi teruma ani yesheno v'libi er. The Medrash has said that the me, is the heart. So the truth is that atzei shittim, the first time that we find this word shittim, which is translated as acacia wood, is here in this week's seder. They should make a box of atzei shittim. But shittim is where we sinned with the daughters of Moab and with the story of Zimri. And Minashitim el Gilgal, the pasuk in Micha says that the whole Gilgul, all the Gilgulim, you know, are associated with this story. So the story of the gold calf is just one aspect of Shittim. Shittim is when I follow my Yitzhahara to the end where it takes me. That's Minashitim el Gilgal. So he says, the Tanchuma says in Parshas Vayakhel that everything that was made of shittim wood was lechaper al masa shittim, was a kapora on this story of us wanting to follow the Moabite women and the Midianite women and then worshipping the Egel, or worshipping their gods that they seduced us into worshipping. This story of here of the golden calf really wasn't really a national a national sin. It was an archetypal sin. But in later dates, we went with this idea and we developed it and it evolved into other kinds of worship and other kinds of abandonment of God. So if we look at the three aroinos, the three boxes that Bezalel made, we see that from the weight we know that there was a kikar kesef, that there was a talent, a hundredweight of gold in the oroin. So we can figure out that the thickness of the walls were really very, very thick, about a quarter of an inch thick. Gold, a quarter of an inch thick, which is an ammo and a half high, right, which is nearly, what is it, like 8 tefachim, 32 inches high or something. It couldn't support its own weight. It would collapse. The physical characteristics of it. It would have made more sense to, as the Torah says, v'tzipisa oisa, just to take the wooden box and cover it with a thick coating of gold. But Bezalel doesn't do that. He says, no, we need to be aware. We need to be aware that there are three different ways in which we cut ourselves off from our own heart. One, with this despair that we have of ever being saved from the outside. Two, that we feel that inside our own heart we have fallen asleep, and that even the things that we do to obey God, they're done in our sleep. And three, we're afraid that there's something inside us that really is pulled and drawn and seduced and can't wait to run away and do bad things, foreign things, worshipful things of non-gods, and just generally chasing our own desires. So that is the wooden box. So Bezalel is telling us that the wooden box really supports the whole structure of the oroin. That even though there are three separate boxes, nevertheless, the structural integrity comes from not the gold, but from the wood. And the wood represents the shittim, represents the whole masa egel, the being seduced by instant gratification or whatever it is that we wanted. You know, you could argue that the whole story of Kiboshesh Moshe, that we see that Moshe hasn't come down, and that we couldn't wait 24 hours before we had another God, right? It had to be immediately. This whole the imperative for immediate gratification overrides everything. But Bezalel is telling us that is very true. It's a very big sin. It's a deep flaw in us. And yet, this is what supports the gold, the oroin, everything, the kapoiros that sits on top of the kruvim, the shechina, the dwelling presence of God comes down and rests between the two cherubs on top of the kapoiros, on top of the cover which is on the ark, which is resting on the box of Atzei Shittim. So, if the first teruma is of the silver sockets, the second is of the gold. And the second is called Me'ez kol isha sheyidvenu liboy, from every person whose heart moves him, tikhu es teruma si, you should take my teruma. My teruma represents Yitzchak. The first is Avram, the second is Yitzchak. Terumasi, because there already God says Yitzchak is already my truma, and this is the truma of the karbonos. This is the donation of the offerings of the nedarim and nedavos, the offerings, the shlomim, the various sacrifices that were brought, and these were you're allowed to take from the goyim also. The truma sa'abdonim and the truma of the shkolim was only the yidden were allowed to bring. The erev rav were not allowed to bring. But the middle one, which God calls teruma si, my truma. The first one is just called truma. The second one is called hatruma, the truma. The middle one is called truma si, my truma. Because Yitzchak himself is my teruma, says God. Yitzchak is the terumas hadeshen. Yitzchak's ashes, so to speak, are lying there on the altar. And Yitzchak is the one who loves Esav. Yitzchak loves the wicked one. Let's have a look at the first Medrash here. Medrash says, the Medrash Zaktazoi, Moshel, what does it mean, V'yikchu li terumo? Omah HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael, God says to the Yidden, Mocharati lechem Torosi, I sold you my Torah, ki lekach toiv nosati lechem, I get you. Kavyochol nimkarati ima, it's as though I got sold together with my Torah. Shenema, as it is written, V'yikchu li truma, let them take, not let them bring me an offering, V'yikchu li, God says, take me. Moshe leMelech, this is I give you a parable of a king. He had a single daughter. So some prince comes from another medina, another kingdom. And he takes the king's daughter. So now this prince and his newly wed princess, they want to go home to their land. The little Ishtar, he wants to take his daughter with him. Omaloi, so the king says to this young prince who has just married his daughter, Biti shenosati lecho, my daughter who I gave you, yichidasi, she's my only daughter, lifrosh mimeno eni yochel, I can't be separated from her, I can't, loimeloch al titlo, to tell you that you're not allowed to take my daughter out of the kingdom, eni yochel, I can't say that to you, lefishi ishtecha, because she's your wife now. Elo zu toivo aseli. The king says to the young man, please do me this favor. Shekol mokom she'ata hoylech, any place that you go, kitoin echod aseli, make me a little hut. She'adur etzlechem, yeah, you're going to have a big castle, and the castle will have a park. Somewhere in the park, make me like a woodman's cottage. So that I can leave my kingdom and I can come and live in the park somewhere outside your castle. Because I can't let my daughter go. So God says to the Jewish people, I've given you the Torah. I can't be parted from the Torah. I can't tell you not to take it. Wherever you go, please buy us echod asuli. Make me a little house, so that I can dwell there. As it is said, let them make me a sanctuary and I'll dwell there. I mean, first of all, it's a very moving matter. The metaphor that God begs us to make him house, but you know, really, if you look at the story of the prince who comes and takes the princess, you know, one of the things that's not here in this story is that, you know, the king made a big chasana for his daughter, and you know, it's all he takes all through the kingdom, right? Like every little village, they have a prince and princess coronation and ich weiß investiture, and everybody, every little town in the kingdom gets a chance to see the beautiful princess and her prince who's come to marry and take her off, and the king makes it last as long as he can, right? And then what we're not told in this story is that this prince, he does some terrible things. He makes some horrible things, and in fact he has to leave the kingdom because he can't dwell there anymore, because he's made such a mess, such a scandal, that he has to leave. And instead of the king saying, you know what, give me back my daughter, go, he doesn't say that. He says, I can't stop you taking my daughter, but you have to leave, so you know what, I want to go with you. So we worship the Egel, and we made this horrible stink and a great scandal, and we have to leave. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, give me back the Torah. See, if I understand what the second Medrash, or out of what we were learning before, that the Shechanti B'Soicham, when God says, I want to dwell in them, it means inside your heart. And the Beis HaMikdash that you make is the one inside your heart. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already in your heart. Ani Yesheino, I'm asleep, the Libi Er, and my heart is awake. Who is my heart? My heart is God. My heart is God in the sense that I have an awareness of Mashiach. My heart is God in the sense that I have awareness of being given the Torah right now and putting on the tefillin of Moshe Rabbeinu right now for the very first time there on the mountain. And then finally, and this is the one that's so complex, is the third one of the Masa Egel itself, the worshipping of the gold calf itself, is an opportunity for God to come and knock at my door all the time and say, Hashi, let me in, Hashi, let me in, why are you keeping me outside? There wouldn't be, this whole Medrash is another way and another way and another way of saying the same thing, that if not for the Masa Egel, if not for the fact that I have a Yetzirah, if not for the fact that I keep on wanting to escape, that God wouldn't have an opportunity to come knocking on my door. That the fact that I am so ashamed of the scandal that I keep on making the same thing, Klal Yisroel, we keep on turning our back on God, and if it's not the Egel HaZohav, then it's the Masa Shittim, then it's the straying after the Midianite women. And the Medrash is saying, but don't you see, says God, that Klum, is there such a thing as a father that's not going to come knocking on his son's door? Klum Yesh Ben Mizbayish Lachsa Etzel Aviv. Is there such a thing? Could you imagine such a thing that a child would keep the father outside? The father's knocking on the door. He says, my hair's wet. I haven't slept all night. I've been running around looking for you. I've here, I've found, look, feel my hair. It's all wet. I've got nowhere to go. Please let me in. And the son, the narish son, the stupid son, says, I'm too ashamed to open the door. Says, there's no such thing. The father says, what are you ashamed of? I'm your father here. I'm knocking on the door. Please let me in. I need a place to put my head down. Is the son going to say, Dad, I'd love to let you in, but I'm just too ashamed. What am I ashamed of? When I was a mashgiach in the Manchester-based inn, I worked in the butcher shops. And a butcher told me, he said, I want to tell you, when I was a young man, it was during the World War II, and in those days, because we didn't have electric fridges and stuff, so in the heat of the day, you know, the butcher shop would be closed. So in the morning we'd be open, and then late in the afternoon through the evening we'd be open. So he said, I had a woman here in the butcher shop. So we saw the mashgiach coming up. It was like in the afternoon. The shop was closed, but the mashgiach came. So he said, I said to the woman, go inside the fridge where the beef is hanging, and I locked it. So the mashgiach came in, I hello. So what did he do? He wanted to go in the fridge. So I said to him, no, I can't let you in the fridge. He said, why can't you let me in the fridge? Why? What's happened? So he went running to the base den to say, hey, the butcher won't let me in the fridge. He must have been hiding something. He doesn't realize, yeah, I'm hiding something. I'm hiding in a cave in the fridge. Can you imagine? The Biskvitzer Rebbe says, can you imagine God is knocking my door and I'm saying to him, no, I'm sorry, I can't let you in. Why can't I let you in? Oh, because I'm entertaining the Yetzer here inside. That's the whole story. I'm entertaining the Yetzer Hara. I'm sorry, I said to God, I can't let you in. And God is knocking on the door. And he's saying, let me in. This is the whole, this is the Mikdash. If you could go to the bottom of this metaphor, you'll see that this is the Mikdash, that God says, no, don't lock me out here. It doesn't matter what you think you're doing in there. You think you're cut off, you think that you've despaired, you think that you're asleep. Let me in and I'll show you that you're not. Because that is the meaning. The meaning of Va'osu Limigdash V'Shechanti B'Soicham is not to build a building, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Martikelai, God is knocking and says, let me in, I'll do the building. I don't need a building. You're missing the point, says God. The building is the you letting me in. The Kotsky used to stop people and he would say, where is HaKadosh Baruch? Where is God? Where is God? People say, I don't know where is God. He said, where? You let him in. So this is the whole story of V'yikhuli. God says, take me. The whole Terumah, whether it's Terumah or Terumasi or the Yaakov, which is HaTerumah, because Yaakov says, Manoiru HaMokem Azeh. Yaakov wakes up in the morning and he says, how awesome is this place? Why? Because the Oren ain't a min aminyan. Because this Oren is not even in this world at all. And yet it's Hatrumah. It's the hay. So, but when you measure it, it's not part of the measurement. Like this Oren, you could measure from both sides and you'll find that it doesn't actually take up any space. And yet it's the hay, which is the final hay of the name of God, which is really this world, and yet it's of this world, it's not of this world. So he says, Manoira HaMokem Azeh, how awesome is this place that it's not really even here? Because if you were to know how in your heart God is, the sleeping is not the sleeping inside your heart. Libi Eir. God says, I'm knocking, I'm knocking, I'm knocking. All you have to do is open, let me in. That is the meaning of the Beis HaMikdash. Open and let me in. And just acknowledge that I'm opening, that I'm knocking, and that you're opening. And that is the meaning of V'yikhuli. God says, please, take me. That's all.